Welcome to the Pursuit of Profit podcast, where we talk about small business, franchising, various different ways of creating income streams outside of traditional employment. You could consider us the anti-employment podcast. My name is Justin Guevara. I'm here today with my dear friend, mentor, business partner, and now pod co-host, Cliff Nonnemacher.
This podcast is not going to be just about money. It's about all the ways that you can obviously make money, but all the things that must happen, right? Things that need to occur in order to create wealth.
First thing I'll say about my younger self is I'm really happy that I didn't start my career down the corporate path. And I say that because, so I spoke to a client just this week. They're in their 30s, young family, one child. They're currently renting a home and they are struggling with whether or not they own a business or go and buy a home. And my concern for these people with inflation and interest rates where they are, cost of living, is that generation right behind me, part of it is my generation, it's going to be really hard to ever create wealth if you don't start early in owning businesses. It's hard to create wealth in corporate America with a W-2 income to begin with. But if young people start taking on all this debt early on in life, it's going to be really hard to ever accumulate enough capital to start speculating and investing in assets that can create passive income streams. If you take on a 7.5% mortgage right now, and it's hard to find a home in South Florida for under 600, 700, 800K, I mean, literally 1500 to 2000 square foot home, how do you ever catch up? And I think people today consider their homes assets, which they are, but they don't generate revenue. And that's a home that, you know, the trick here is to create income streams that generate cash flow while you're sleeping, while you're on vacation. This is what a job can do, right? It's input, output, trading time for money. And my concern with young people today is that if they don't start early, it's going to be really challenging once you start falling behind. I'm happy that I had opportunities when I was young. I was willing to take some risks. I met people like Cliff who believed in me and who were willing to make investments because I had something that they believed in, work ethic, whatever it was. And did I have all wins along the way? Absolutely not. We failed. We'll have more failures in the future. Is that going to stop us? Absolutely not. Every time we fail, we take a step back. We think about what went wrong, why, how would we do it differently the next time. We learn and we keep moving forward. And we'll continue to do that for the rest of our careers. Along the way, we've had more wins than losses. The wins have always been bigger than the losses because we understand how to mitigate risk. We surrounded ourselves with intelligent people that can guide and advise. And so those are things I wouldn't change, you know. I think the important thing is to act. There's always an excuse. Just do it. If it doesn't work out, that's fine. You're young, right? You'll learn and then you'll do it. You'll do it differently next time. So yeah, I wouldn't change a lot of what we did, even though there were failures along the way. Those were great learning experiences and they led to additional wins in the future.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of things that Justin just said. You know, we ask people these questions about what would you tell your younger self, and it's interesting to put yourself in that position to say, look, you're in a time machine, and there you are, 12, right? You have 50 years of experience, and you just met your 12-year-old self. You know, what would you say to him, right? I think I nailed it on the spousal selection. So I have no advice there. I really did. I have an amazing, amazing wife. I have an amazing son. I have an amazing business partner. So there's really no course correction there. My course corrections would be fear, and it would be risk. And my advice to my younger self and my advice to everyone really in their 20s and 30s is you need to go all in. You have to go all in on what you believe in and all in on your idea. When I was young and I would bring up ideas to people, they instantly shit on them. Instantly. Right? It's like, because no one really wants to see that one family member or that one friend in the circle catapult to success. Misery loves company, right? And that statement, doves of feather flock together, and all this cliche stuff that you hear, no one really wants to see that other person just exit the group and end up in a different social circle or create just incredible wealth. So a lot of things that I would bring up, people would be really, really negative, you know? So my advice to my younger self would be, because there's a lot of things that I wanted to do and I just didn't have the risk appetite for it. And Justin knows, there's things that we've talked about. I was an investment banker. I liked to trade commodities. There are things that I've said to do and I didn't do them myself. And I mean, I would be way wealthier today had I done that. Met my younger self. It would definitely be focus on your health, right? Don't take that body for granted. All this investment you make in money and business, don't forget the machine, the brain health, mental health, physical strength, right? Sleep, all that stuff, eating properly, exercise, like all that stuff is super important. And again, you're telling a 12-year-old, right? And he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm bulletproof. So, but if you said, all right, well, forget the eating part because you like to eat. I know you because you're me, right? I know you because you're me and you love chocolate. So let's shelve that conversation. Let's talk about what you actually give a shit about, which is money. Here's what you need to do, right? We define fear, and I read this years ago. It's an acronym. It's false experiences appearing real. And if you think about your life of worry and all the things that you've ever worried about, none of those things actually happen. Other things have happened, but the things that you've literally obsessed about and really feared, none of it ever came true. Absolutely none of it. Again, other things have occurred in your life that you weren't even thinking about. Those things happen, whether it be a stub in your toe or a car accident or some other type of event. But the things that you actually spend the lion's share of your time worrying about, they never happen. It's just a complete waste of energy. It's exhausting, actually, right? So again, it's a false experience appearing real. Another thing that, because I've spent a lot of time on fear, because fear has killed more dreams than failure ever has. Think about that. Fear has killed more dreams than failure ever has. It's people not willing to take that shot. It's people not believing in themselves. You have to believe in yourself. And right now, people are not thinking for themselves. They don't believe in themselves. And people manifest fear in different ways. And this is what it sounds like. Hey, man, you going to buy that business? Nah, I talked to my lawyer. He said it's a bad idea. Bullshit. It has nothing to do with the lawyer. Nah, I spoke to my wife. She's really not into it. That's not it. You don't believe in you. That's the problem. You don't believe in you. Because if you did, you would not hear any of those distractions. Lawyers, accountants. Number one, they're... No disrespect to the audience, accountants are risk averse. They're rarely right when it comes to risk tolerance. And they're rarely wealthy because they don't have an appetite for risk. Why would you ever listen to an accountant when it comes to buying a business is beyond me, honestly. That's just not your go-to. You go to them for the P&L review, the balance sheet review. You go to them for the numerical accountabilities of a business. But when it comes to gut, when it comes to taking risks, you don't listen to those advisors. You go with what you know and you go with what you believe in and you fight like hell to win and execute. That's my advice to my younger self.
The interesting thing about the family members and the friends who think they're protecting you by giving you all the reasons why you shouldn't do something is they're usually projecting their own fears on you and reasons why they couldn't take action in the past. And they're rarely people, in my opinion, they're rarely family members who have had success, tremendous success themselves, right? Because why would a successful entrepreneur who has improved their quality of life by investing in businesses, why would they tell someone else not to do it? Of course you should. Right. Just be aware of this, this, and this. But go ahead. Go make it happen. You could absolutely do this. It's usually the people who can never do it themselves, right? It's the drunk uncle, right? It's, you know, it's who's sitting there at Thanksgiving dinner talking about all the stuff you shouldn't do and what's gonna go wrong and what's gonna go bad. And people listen.
Yeah,
people listen to these unsuccessful family members instead of saying, "Hey, appreciate the feedback. I don't want to be you." Right? I don't want to be you talking about all the things you never did your whole life. And here you are, 70 years old, giving me the same reasons why I shouldn't do it. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be that guy. So, yeah, I mean, we need to be careful with who we surround ourselves with and whose opinions we choose to listen to.
I was living in Marco Island. It was 1990, which means I'm graduating high school. And I have an idea of investing in this little crappy company called Subway, right? And I live on a 3-mile by 6-mile island, and they really didn't have a lot of franchises. Matter of fact, there were people picketing with poles in the street saying they wanted no franchises. They wanted to keep the island, this island feel, where it was all mom and pop. And I get it. It's all mom and pa and bed and breakfast and really just cool names, you know, hey, where are you going for breakfast? I'm going to, you know, the Sunday house and all these little names. They didn't want McDonald's. They picketed in the streets against it. They didn't want these brands. So, I bring it to an accountant because I think that's what I need to do. And this guy just crapped all over the idea. Like, this is the worst idea you could possibly come up with. Well, I don't need to tell the audience how successful Subway it is and has been since 1990. It would have been an amazing idea. And some of the wealthiest people in franchising are the 126 development agents for that brand, right? So, you know, you look back at all these ideas and the people who have influenced us. Fast forward, since that day, thankfully, I was about 18 years old. I said to myself, never again. I'm the tip of the spear. I'm the one who has the vision. I'm the one who believes in what I'm capable of doing. I have the business acumen. Why would I speak to someone that doesn't have these types of life experiences? And I believe in what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it. And from that moment forward, I rarely requested advice from anyone around me. Mussolini made a quote, and he said, "I would rather be a lion for a day than spend 100 years as a sheep." Love that shit, and it's so true. It's like, so what? So what? I told you not to do it. So what? I did it. I was a fucking beast, right? I was running my own business. I did it. I have the experience. Yeah, maybe it failed. I'll lick my wounds. I'll pick myself up. And as I say, you fail forward. Get up, dust yourself off, learn from it, and now let's do it again. I'm young. I got time on my side. I'm in my 20s. Big deal. I tripped a few times. Get up, do it again and again and again and learn and learn and learn, refine my process and execute and create wealth. That's it. So we don't need it. Just I talk about this all the time about working with lawyers and accountants. We end up telling them what we want to do in the end. I am amazed at how many people have not mastered their craft in their professional field. I'm actually shocked.
The accountant's trading time for money the same way the doctor is, the same way the attorney is, the same way most franchise consultants are. Right. I mean, think about we're asking all of these professionals, respected professionals, for advice about making a business investment. Shouldn't the first question be like, how do you make investments? What investments do you have? What wins and successes and failures have you had in the past? Like, you're advising me on making a business investment decision and you're an accountant. So, again, you understand numbers, but what do you understand about business ownership?
Yeah.
So, and you could say it about any of these respected, well-respected trades, right? They're all trading time for money as well, unless they own their practice, absolutely. Which is a different story.
Mm-hmm. You could do this. Is it harder to create wealth in this generation? You know, when I look back at ways that you created wealth in the past, that you had to be an innovator, a visionary, you had to create some idea, maybe it's an invention, and you scaled your business. Right. But you look at the stepping stones when you actually looked at wealthy people in your family going back, like let's call them our grandparents. right? So baby boomers, look at baby boomers' wealth creation. And you're like, hey, what'd you do? Oh, I worked for GE. I spent 30 years there. I've got a pension. I have my retirement plan. I pay for my medical. And you're like, wow, I bought this house in 1973. Your grandma and I stayed in it our whole time. It's worth $2.5 million. We just sold it, bought a condo in Florida, and we're going to remain here for the remainder of our life and have some generational wealth to pass on. You're like, wow, one job, one house, right? Sometimes a one-car garage. Think about it. Levittown, Long Island, was the first suburb in America after World War II. It's a one-car garage. You know, it's a small little Cape Cod house, simple living. They did not live frivolous. They lived below their means. So when you talk about, is it easier? If I went to that grandparent and said, hey, have you ever made like $1 million very quickly with an NFT? What's that mean? Well, okay, change topics. Hey, Grandpa, have you ever made $20,000 a day doing YouTube shorts and being an influencer? What are YouTube shorts? All right, let's change direction. Hey, Grandpa, have you ever invested in crypto for like, let's say, 17 cents and watched it go to 70,000 a coin? What's crypto? When you look at all the opportunities that these kids have today to create wealth and avoid employment, why do you think we have the tightest labor market in the history of this country? Because they have options. That's why. Options that prior generations never had, right? Hey, Grandpa, did you ever think about buying a house and maybe renting it out, making a cap rate of 15, 20% on a piece of real estate? Let's call it Airbnb. What's that? Think about all this stuff, right? So when you say it's harder now, things are way more expensive now. But you cannot say that the path to creating wealth is more difficult today when I just shared with you several forks in the road that you can go down at 18, 17, 15 years old. Hey, Grandpa, you want to work with me on devising, creating an app that, I don't know, delivers food to people? I don't know how to create it. What could we do today? What is Microsoft's tagline? Where do you want to go today, right? What do you want to do? So I don't think I'm going to buy the idea that it's harder to create wealth today. I will agree that when I look at my parents' first home, it was $6,000. As a percentage of income, it was probably not even 10 to 20%. When I look at my first house, right, it was two times more expensive than my annual income, my first home. Think of that math. So that math is upside down. It makes no sense. Everything has gotten very expensive, but I just don't know if I buy the concept that it's harder today to create wealth. I think people are just riddled with excuses. I also believe in this. I believe in the law of attraction. And I believe that when you are constantly hating successful people, you're basically hating wealth and money. And when you think negatively about money, you have to be very careful because thoughts become things. And if you're going to constantly bitch about rich people and wealth, you're never going to obtain it yourself.
It's hard to disagree with anything that he just said. He's right about everything. We have to distinguish between needing more money and not being able to make as much money. Do we need more money today? Yeah. I mean, that's what inflation is. Homes are more expensive. Eggs are more expensive. Meat is more expensive. It is what it is. You know, I always go back to, given this information, what do we do about it? I mean, with computers and technology and software and artificial intelligence and, I mean, all these things that we have access to now, it's never been easier to make money. I'm not saying that people should be getting naked online, but there's never been more opportunity to make money. You don't need a ton of money. You don't have to be super entrepreneurial. Okay, so you don't have a crazy software idea. You don't know how to build a SaaS. First of all, you can learn how to code. I mean, there's so much you could do just learning that skill, right? You got to have skills. So you don't want to learn how to code, or you don't have an idea. Go buy a franchise. You don't need a lot of money to own a franchise. Use someone else's idea that you can execute off of. I mean, there's so many different ways of making money right now. You know, there's an entire generation out there that doesn't have much hope. And I feel horrible. I mean, it does. There's no doubt that the cost of a home has outpaced the average income, right? I mean, there's no doubt. There's also part of the problem is also this Instagram generation. There's a lot of things to do with our money as opposed to investing it, right? I mean, Cliff's son, I was talking to Cliff's son on his birthday the other day. This kid works his butt off. This kid has more savings than most adults that I know. Now, the question is, what does he do with that money? Does he go out and buy a Louis Vuitton bag like a lot of these teenagers that I see on social media now? Or does he put it in the stock market and own businesses, have equity in a business? This kid's 15 years old. He's telling me about his stock portfolio. It's about proper upbringing, rich dad, poor dad, right? Right. So there's a lot of things you could do with that money once you make it. You got to be smart. It's not going to be easy for that generation. They got to make intelligent decisions.
I totally agree with you. Justin's so right. John, when you look at going back to growing up myself, 70s and 80s, I always wondered, like, could you imagine having a conversation with a Warren Buffett? Could you imagine having a conversation with a titan of industry today with podcasting? These guys are doing downloads of intellectual property by the minute. Think of that. Think about that. It's like, what do you want to know? I want to know how to invest in real estate. There are some of the brightest real estate investment minds on YouTube and on Spotify right now that you could basically learn step by step exactly how to create wealth in real estate. Wealth in anything. Trading algorithms, all these trading platforms. So when people say to me, it's hard, they're just excuses. It really is. It's just excuses. There is an old quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson. If you think becoming a millionaire in America is difficult, you haven't tried. And that is a fact. Now think about this. For all the people listening that are not wealthy that want to be, what are you doing today to create wealth other than complain, right? There's another statement that I truly believe in. You can sense people and make a judgment call very quickly on this. Successful people think and talk about what they like and what they want. And unsuccessful people spend the day thinking and talking about what they don't like and what they don't want. Right? Just listen to someone's conversation. It's all day long, fucking Biden, MAGA. It's hate, and it's more hate, and it brings more problems, and it attracts more trouble because your thoughts become things. You got mindset is everything. And once people figure out their mindset, and for me, one of the greatest changes in my mindset was The Secret, the book The Secret. It changed my thinking. It changed my way of viewing things. It changed my behavior, and it was a better path to creating wealth and staying laser focused on my goals and staying above the line and being positive.
Yeah, there's a lot of distraction out there nowadays too, right? You can easily go down a rabbit hole, turn around. It's like I've been doom scrolling on Twitter for the last 3 hours, you know, absorbing negative BS that, like, what does it really matter to my day to day life or right? And it's not, there's nothing I could do to control it. There's so much positive stuff out there. Like Cliff said, podcast, books, you know, what do you choose to do with your time? Are you watching reality shows and doom scrolling Twitter? You can either spend time watching other people's content or create things yourselves.
And he's right about, you know, when you look again, back to excuses. I really need to make some extra money. Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? Have you ever considered that? Man, I'd love to. I just don't have the time. Sure you do. I'm on your Facebook account right now. You got about 5 hours a day. But by my calculation, yeah, I'm on your Instagram. Look at this. Oh, now I'm on your Instagram page. There's another hour of useless scrolling through bullshit. I don't know if you know this scientific study. They put a bowl of soup in front of a human being and had them eat it. And they ate it, and they finished it, and it was over. Then they had a bowl of soup, but under the table was a little hose, constantly creating a perpetual bowl of soup. And guess what the person did? They just kept going and going and going. And it was that scientific experiment that created the endless social media feed. It's the bowl of soup study, and you can look it up. It's fascinating how we are so easily manipulated, and we are manipulated into believing you're never going to own a home, you're never going to be wealthy, you're never going to be successful, you're never going to be able to think for yourself, you're a loser, I'm the government, you need me, suckle on my tit for the remainder of your life. That is not the message that we want to get out there. And I think I'll say this, that getting off of social media, you will be instantly happier and more successful and more productive and smarter. When you look at most of society's problems, it's a direct result of bad parenting. I really believe that everything improves when parenting improves. It's no different from an organization. Everything in the organization improves when leadership improves and the culture improves. So I think that a lot of things that we're dealing with right now, let's just take this for example, tightest labor market in history. Anyone listening is going to agree with that statement. So at least we could begin this conversation with heads nodding in the right direction. Are we in the tightest labor market in history? Yes. Okay, where did that come from? Right? It came from a couple of things, and one of them has to do with parenting. And that's the biggest one, teaching your kids how to hustle instead of just constantly handing them your credit card, right? And just sending these kids out. You know, and my attitude was, I'm not doing that. I've never bought my son an iPhone. You want an iPhone? You put skin in the game. Absolutely not. You don't want to know how many iPhones he broke? None. You want to know how many iPhones work perfectly? All of them. You want to know how many tablets and laptops and electronic equipment have never touched water, have never fallen off the table, have never been lost at school, have never been missed in a backpack? Why? Because he has skin in the game. That's why. Because his money, his birthday money, his communion money, his christening money is in those devices. That's skin in the game. And that's how we have protected basically and taught valuable lessons about making sure that this stuff. We have friends. They leave stuff everywhere. Why? Because it's okay to do that. There's no consequences. Nothing happened to me. So your kids aren't your friend, right? You're there to groom them, and you're there to make sure and mentor them and give them direction to become men or women, right? They're a head of a household. I happen to be running a man. I'm making a man out of him, and I'm teaching him basic things that men need to do, which started at a young age, which is you need to learn how to hustle. You need to learn how to make money. You need to understand money. When we used to do, and Justin will relate to this because he was witness to this, when my son was in middle school and it was bring your child to work day, we had him reading market material. We had him reading entrepreneurial stuff, but not just reading it. He had to present it. How old was he? Like 8, 9, 10?
You had him on the phone pitching clients.
We had him literally cold call people, and it sounded like this with this little squeaky voice. Hi, my name is Chase. I work for Phrenosity. You recently requested information on a franchise opportunity. I was just wondering, maybe the timing is better. Do you still have a continued interest in franchising? People would pause, and they were like, this is a child. And I'm there listening. I've got it on recording. It's absolutely brilliant. So we would have him during Bring Your Child to Work Day, we'd have him read, learn, and then present in the conference room to the people in the office. What did you learn from reading that? And you would go through all these things about what makes a productive day, how to stay off social media, how social media is destroying our children. He's the child teaching the adults how damaging social media is. He has no TikTok account. Why would you give your kid a TikTok account? Like, why would you do that? People need to step up and lead and protect their household, protect their children, protect what information they're getting. And they don't. They don't. They want to be their friend. Oh, my son, my daughter's my friend. They're not your friend. They're going to be an unproductive, useless member of society, right? And that's on you. So, I mean, you could do this all day with parenting. I'm not an expert in parenting. I'm basically just doing what baby boomers did, holding people accountable and teaching them life skills.
The problem is the father's on TikTok dancing himself.
Right.
How's the father going to teach this lesson when he's doing TikTok dances half the time?
Every kid should have listened to Joe Rogan and just deleted it from your phone. Yeah, well, he, what's wrong with making an outbound dial, right? So there are people who would be like, wow, you're really hard on him. I'm like, we're not hard on him. We're just redirecting his attention. He's sitting in an office, bring your child to work day. 99% of parents handed their kid an iPad and let him play games on the couch in their office. That's what they did. They didn't teach him anything about their career. They didn't thought provoke the child into becoming an accountant or an attorney or a litigator or whatever. They didn't do anything. They just hand him an iPad, right, and just say, go play in the corner because today's bring a kid to work day. We took a different approach. It's like, all right, you're going to come to work and you're going to at least leave here with some skills, right? And some of the, so I don't feel like there was anything damaging. I believe he enjoyed doing it. It was an assignment. Yes, he was uncomfortable presenting, but then he really loosened up. And we're like, hey, it's just us. And he did an amazing job presenting to the group.
The call, I heard the phone calls. The calls went well. People on the other end were actually responsive. Once they understood that it was a kid, they spoke to him. And I think Chase, I think it was actually a huge confidence builder for him. I mean, this kid learned a skill. This kid was talking to grown adults. Right?
Huge
having conversations
builder.
That his dad has about buying businesses. He loved it. Loved it. Again, he got a little uncomfortable, I'm sure, right? Like we all do at some point. And it went well, and he learned a skill, and I'm sure he was ecstatic that he went to work with his dad that day, had a great time, and felt good about himself.
There he is. Look, he's breathing.
Well, you know what? He just had his 15th. He just turned 15. How old was he? Was he then?
So in that video, he goes like this. He goes, he breathes. He gets his mindset straightened out, because I told him, dialing. One of the greatest skills, by the way, in the world. Now, this is, I think, a great quote for the audience, right? I think one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest skills a human being can have is the ability to sell. The ability to sell, because everything begins after the sale. You can argue and say, I'm the best operations person in the world. And my response is, you have nothing to operate on until I sell something. Everything begins after the sale. I'm the rainmaker. We make activity happen. If you're in operations, you deal with what I've done. You're secondary to the greatest profession in the world is the ability to sell. Second thing I'd like to say, you want to create wealth? Learn how to cold call. Learn how to make an outbound dial. Learn how to influence another human being to take action, right? Be articulate. Learn how to communicate with another human being. This generation can't do that. They can text another human being, but they can't make eye contact and have a conversation with another human being. So in this video, what you're seeing is Chase. This is a numbers game. It's a 1 in 10 contact rate in this example. So he's going through the list and he goes, I'm on number 10. So he does this whole breathing exercise like at 9. And he gets his head straight, and then he goes into the call, and the guy answers. And he pitches him. So the guy, there's this awkward delay, and the guy goes, not at this time. Like, are you still interested in franchise? And the guy goes, not at this time. So I go, Chase, that guy's interested. I'm going to call him back. So I call the guy back, and he goes, did I just have a child called me? I said, yes, you did. He's my son. Today's bring your child to work day. He goes, I thought that was a child, but I wasn't sure. He was so professional. I go, it is. He's like 9, 10, whatever I said at the time. And my name's Cliff. I'm with Phrenosity. Do you have a continued interest? He goes, I actually do. I'm in the ER with my fiance. He goes, but could you call me maybe in a week or two so we could revisit this? All that from a 9-year-old making an outbound dial cold call, and he felt like $1 million after that dial, because it's like, I made that happen. I created the activity for this company. One day, bring your child to work day. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, so if your parents aren't entrepreneurial, I mean, you're obviously not going to cut your parents off, right? It's like, hey, I appreciate your opinion, but I'm an adult, right? However old you are, you have to start thinking for yourself, and you have to go out and find people who have accomplished the things who are accomplishing the things that you want to accomplish in life, right? You got to surround yourself with people who have been there or who are doing the things that are necessary to get to where you want to be, right? So there's going to be a lot of haters out there. I mean, there's so many ways of finding people nowadays. I mean, just look at your Twitter thread. You can easily, right? You can easily produce a Twitter thread of people who are talking about nonsense, all negativity. And then you could create a Twitter thread of Naval Ravikant, Tim Ferriss, Andrew Huberman, right? And all these guys who are putting out just incredibly valuable content, right? Like Cliff said, we have access to some of the greatest minds in the world for free nowadays. Whether it's books, Audible, podcasting, Twitter, the greatest minds in the world are giving their opinions on everything daily, on a daily basis. If you're not out there listening to these people, you're missing out, right? Where are you putting your attention and where are you committing your time? So you got to surround yourself with people who have been there, whether it's like friends or just intelligent people who you admire who were podcasting for free. Whatever it is you want to learn about. I want to learn how to get healthy. Look, go listen to Andrew Huberman every Monday, right? I want to listen to incredible venture capitalists and investors. Listen to Tim Ferriss or the All In podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are billionaires giving their opinion on everything, life, spirituality, politics, geopolitical, events that are everything. If you're not listening to these people, what are you doing? Who are you listening to?
Pursuit of profit.
If you're considering franchising, right? So sometimes we give opinions on different things, but if you're interested in investing in a franchise, we're a couple of guys that have done it before, right? We've had wins, we've had failures. We talk about franchising every week. So whatever the topic is, there's a place to go for it. And if you're not there, there's a lot of places, there's a lot of distraction out there. Right, you gotta be focused on the right things.
What's that quote? You're the average of the five people you spend your time with.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look around the room. Who are you hanging out with? You're the average of that. You're hanging out with a bunch of alcoholics and party animals and single people and like what are you doing with your life? And who are you being influenced by? People overcomplicate everything. They really do. They overcomplicate their life. They overcomplicate decision making. People tend to literally overcomplicate their entire life. It's not that difficult. So, if you listen to the headlines, it's a doom and gloom situation, right? So just read headlines, listen to your government, right? Listen to those folks, and you think that you have no options. And I could not disagree more with that assessment. I think that there is a ton of opportunity out there. I think that all of the answers to the test are out there. There are, as we touched on today, many podcasts, many experts in varying fields. I don't care what you want to do with your time or where you want to go. There is always a clear path to profit. There is always a clear path to success. It's a matter of just ripping down those obstacles, getting all that noise out of your head and staying laser focused on what you want. Every dollar you will ever have is currently in the hands of someone else. How are you going to get them? What's your path to do that, right? Instead of wasting time on social media and nonsense and scrolling through endless TikTok useless videos, right? Start redirecting your attention to getting ahead and getting out of that noise. The noise is a distraction. It's really suppressing our youth. It's suppressing our youth. And I think that parents, right, they need to start taking more control over where their children are spending their time because they want them to have a better. I don't know very many parents that don't want their children to have a better life than they did. Well, that's a heavy lift if your kids are doing useless activities and they're not expanding their mind and are not doing productive things and they're not refining their work ethic and they're not making sure that they are the exception to the rule so that when they interview against 200 kids, it's like, boom, you're a lock. I was talking to a 19-year-old girl the other day. She's a flight student at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And she's like, all I do is just get things done. She goes, someone came in our school a year ago. There are thousands of students. I said to them, oh, I'd love to work for your company. They said, call us one day when you graduate. She said, I called them like a year and a half later, and they remembered me. They hired me on the spot. I beat everyone out. Of course you did. You're the exception to the rule. You actually did what you said you were going to do. You weren't afraid. You stepped up. You just called. That's really what it takes. So I want to wrap this up by saying it is not more difficult to be successful today than it was in the past. If anything, I could argue strongly that it's easier. There's a lot of options today that we never had in the past. And I really, truly believe that. Block the noise, block the negativity, get your mindset straightened out, focus your attention on productive activities, and fight like hell to win. It's going to be an effort, but you can do it.
We're in a world filled with opportunity. Move quickly. Take action. You'll either get started earlier in life or you'll fail and have a great learning experience early on that will lead to huge wins in the future. It's not going to be easy. It never is. That's what makes it so rewarding. So if it were easy, like what's the joy in doing it? It's all about the journey. Grind it out, right? Take your bumps and bruises along the way. Learn. Surround yourself with great people. Stay positive. Absorb all of this free information out there in the world now. Take action. It's never going to be the perfect time. There's always going to be a ton of reasons to not do something. There's always going to be people who are going to give you a lot of reasons to not do something and make excuses for you. I appreciate the advice. I got to go make something happen for my life. I mean, your parents aren't going to be around forever. At some point, you have to create your own future, right? Take action, move quickly. If you fail, fail forward, learn from it, and go do it again better next time.
Totally.